Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Listen, tomorrow is not just another holiday.
That's right.
It's not about going to the beach, going to the pool or the lake or cooking in the backyard, even though there's nothing wrong with all of that. But what you need to make sure you do is to pause and pray for the families who've lost loved ones defending this country, those who came back as a wounded warrior, their families. And if nobody in your family fits into either of those categories, find somebody in your church or your neighborhood who may have lost a son or a daughter, and just give them a call and say, well, I was just thinking about you today and wanted to call and tell you that I love you.
Amen.
Freedom's not free. Never has been. And there are people who paid a price for our freedom. And on Memorial Day, we need to honor them.
That's right. And appreciate them.
And appreciate.
And really appreciate them every day of the year.
Absolutely.
My opinion, which I respect.
Tonight's teaching is making the word work for you.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some believers don't know how, or don't know, or don't do what they know to do in order to make the word of God work for them. As we were reading, I read and then you read, Isaiah 55:11, our spirits were stirred, and that's why we're writing, making the word work for you. And it's based on Isaiah 55:11.
In the classic Amplified
Bible. Your favorite
Bible.
Translation.
That's right. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect or useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Hallelujah.
Here's the bottom line. You can't send forth what you don't know.
There you go.
You can't send forth what you don't know. So your mouth can't speak and send forth what your heart doesn't understand.
Mm.
But you can better understand how the word works if we take that scripture you just read and look at it in greater detail, which we're going to do.
That's right.
Number one, from that scripture, from Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. The word goes forth, not in written form, but the spoken word. And they're not just any words, honey. They're the words of God from the Word of God.
That's right.
It's not enough to know the Word, but you got to speak the Word as well. I love the
Message Bible.
Yeah, on part of Isaiah 55:11. Because it begins with this sentence.
It says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed.
In fact, it occurred to us that there are seven things that we should know about the Word, and it's going forth. First, to know the Word, you got to begin reading the Word.
Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, classic Amplified Bible. Every scripture, I like that, every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. So that the man of God and the woman of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah.
Every scripture is God-breathed.
Yes.
Not this one or that one. Every scripture. And I believe every scripture is strategically placed where God wanted it to be in the scripture. But honey, I love verse 17. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be thoroughly equipped? You want to be proficient? Then know the Word of God.
That's it.
That's what the Scripture is saying to us.
Then in Matthew 4:4 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, But he replied, "It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God."
Honey, that ties in with the scripture in Psalm 121, I think.
Oh, yes.
Where it says that that the angels are listening, you know, for his words. Not his voice, but the words, the word of God.
103, verse, I think it's verse 9, 20, where it says the angels.
I knew there was a 20 in it
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, who perform the word. And, of course, we're the ones speaking the word.
And see, that ties right in, but every word that comes forth from
out
the mouth,
mouth
of God.
God. And we're repeating what he said. In 1 Timothy 4:13 in the Classic Amplified, it says,
"You know how children sometimes will say what their parents say?"
Yes.
They'll copy what they say. That's what we're doing.
Amen.
We're saying what our Heavenly Father, says.
And so we should be.
And so we should be.
Because he's given us, he's given us this word to be able to do exactly that. In 1 Timothy 4:13 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "Till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine."
So now, the first one, read the word. So, the second, confess the word. Salvation comes through confession.
Yes.
Healing comes through confession. Deliverance comes through confession. Victory comes through confession.
Amen.
You can become born again when you understand Romans 10, 9 and 10.
In the Classic Amplified Bible, it says it this way. "Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, and trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely of his faith, and confirms his salvation." So it's a two-part process.
It is.
A three-part. Reading it, believing it, and confessing it.
If you don't confess or speak the word, you will not see miracle manifestation in your life.
That's right.
That's a fact.
In Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, very well-known scripture, which so many of these we just love and feast on, says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And in the next verse it says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them."
What you need to do, if there's something in your life that you need to move, say it with boldness. Move! In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Move out of my life. Move away.
My weapons are not carnal, mighty through God to pull down strongholds. I mean, you take the word and you apply it to your situation.
First.
And watch
we read the
manifestation.
Word. Confess the word.
That's right.
Now memorize the word.
I love it.
For years, I prayed for our children to recall and remember everything they heard in their classes so they could make good grades on their exams and be astute in their classes. And in fact, I've prayed that for a lot of people. You know, we have people that work for us and in high school and college, people taking professional exams. You know, I've prayed for them to recall and remember.
That's right.
But that same principle applies to us. In our prayer time, we should ask the Holy Spirit to help us recall and remember all the scriptures we read and the accompanying study notes. He'll help us recall and remember because that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to remember the word. He wants us to be able to recall the word in situations where we need to confess it in our lives.
And, you know, many times you might be thinking, well, I just don't know if I can remember all that. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Keep reading the word and you will find. Matter of fact, when we were studying and going over this, I thought, And I like to work on the computer, don't get me wrong, but I like my Bible because I go, I know where that's at, and I know what part of the page it's on, and I pretty much know the area it's in, so I just flip through. But, you know, those things start to come back to you, and you may not think you remember very much, but when you start getting in the Word, the Holy Spirit brings it back to your remembrance, and then you go, oh, I know, you know, and you can bring it back. It's just fabulous how he helps us.
You even know where it's at with the ones where the pages are falling out. Yeah. Remember that first Amplified Bible you got?
Yeah.
She has an Amplified
several.
Bible where a lot of the pages are loose, and she puts a rubber band around it.
Well,
but then
I have
you
a
got
new
a new one.
One. I did get a new one from my friends. But the point is, it will come back to you.
If you don't read the Word,
yep,
if you begin
it.
Reading the Word on a daily basis, confessing the Word's much easier.
That's right.
Much easier to do.
I love this. I really love this. The Classic Amplified translation of Proverbs 22, verses 17 through 19, gives us the insight into the progression of what God is doing. It says it right here. Starting in verse 17, it says, listen, consent, and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. It's like God is speaking to us. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them. Your lips will become accustomed to confessing them, so that your trust, belief, reliance, support, and confidence may be in the Lord. I have made known these things to you today, even to you. So that's just the progression. You know, we submit to these words of wisdom out of the Word, and they just become pleasant. You know how you come across a scripture and you haven't seen it maybe for a little bit, and you go, oh, because you remember it, you love it, you know the promise behind it, and it just does something for you. You become accustomed to confessing it, so that when something happens, a lot of times that scripture just comes to your mind, and you go, and you start confessing that for the situation you're in. God is good that way.
When
the Holy Spirit
the word,
is great.
When you hear the Word over and over again,
that's right,
you begin to remember the verses.
Amen.
You know, on Rich Sauce for Breakfast, there are scriptures that some people may feel like we use on a regular basis, but we do, and we'll do it till you get it.
Yeah.
I remember Brother Kenneth Hagin, first church he ever preached at. First Sunday he was there, he preached this great sermon. The deacons all came to him after the service and told him how wonderful it was. The next Sunday, he preached the exact same message. And the chairman of the deacon board walked up to him and said, Brother Hagin, said that message is good, but that's twice now. Do you have any other sermons? He said, I have a lot of them, and I'll preach them once I'm confident that y'all understand everything I've been telling you the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He wanted to make sure they got it.
Yeah, Paul said, even in the epistles, he goes, it is not a hindrance if I go over and over, you know, basic things. So, but Psalm 119 and verse 11 in the Living Bible says, I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that they would hold me back from sin. When we know to do right, holds us back from
that's
sin.
True. When the enemy comes to the door of your heart,
right,
trying to bring negatives into your life, send the Word of God. Send the Word of God to answer the temptation.
That's it.
And that way you'll be free of sin.
Amen.
And whatever trap the enemy is trying to get you to fall for.
In Psalm 119:16 in the Message Bible, it says it this way. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to never forget a word of it. There's an answer for everything.
In all of these scriptures we're giving you tonight, today, whenever you see this, there's power in it.
Yes.
And there are things in each one that ties together to tell you and teach you how to make the Word work for you.
Mm.
You know, you can forget a lot of things and get by in life. But when you forget the Word, you shortcut the blessings of God and the destiny that He's planned for you.
And you don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that. Mm. Read.
Fourth is. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to do a recap.
Read was read, confess, memorize, and the fourth one, personalize the Word.
Oh, yeah. Hebrews 4, verse 12 in the Classic Amplified Bible. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power. You know, the Word is alive. I mean, it is alive. When we read it, it is like the Holy Spirit is, it is like no other word, really. God can use another word and speak to you through it, but this is the Word, and it's always alive because it is Jesus in the Word. He is the Word. It says, for the Word of God that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrows of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. That's personal.
It is. And you need to, that is personal. And but we always recommend you personalize scriptures.
Yes.
Insert your name or that of a loved one into a verse. Add them or he or she when praying for others. You can also just speak their names, but personalize it. And on our website, haroldherring.com, there's 8 different groupings that you can go there, click the button, put in your name and an email address and the name of the country, USA, just those 3 things. And it'll email you. It'll print on the screen or show on the screen.
Hallelujah.
And email you.
Yeah.
Personalized scriptures with your name in it. And it's powerful to
do that.
It
is powerful to see your name in scripture.
And for instance, Deuteronomy 31:6, honey.
It's very good.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord our God is the one who goes with Norman. He will not fail Judy or forsake them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again,
Hallelujah.
Strongly encourage you to visit haroldherring.com and personalize those scriptures for you.
Lots to do. Lots to claim.
And we have financial scriptures, healing scriptures, success scriptures.
Overcoming fear scriptures.
Never give up.
That's right.
And Psalm 20, 23, and 91.
There you go.
And I'm going to be adding some more to it this year. I want to get it up to a dozen.
That'd
I've
be
got
great.
A couple of them already written.
I've got some,
focus on it.
Amen.
All right. So we read the Word. We confess the Word. We memorize the Word. We personalize the Word. And now we're going to write the Word.
Yeah.
Write the Word. When you were in school, did you ever have to write sentences on the chalkboard?
Whoops.
Because of some infraction of rules or conduct?
That's old school, but boy, that's what we got.
Now, my mama's here tonight. And I want you to know it wasn't my fault that I had to write those words on the blackboard. Well, maybe it was. But writing a particular sentence over and over again wasn't just meaningless punishment, as I thought at the time. After writing a sentence, "I will not talk in class 100 times in front of my classmates," I got it. God. Writing verses over and over will help them ingrain you, will help them to be ingrained, engrafted, if you will, into your spirit, into your mind, and your life.
Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19 in the Classic Amplified. "And when he sits on his royal throne, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book out of what is before the Levitical priests, and he shall keep it with him." We're talking about the king now, who sits on his throne. "And he shall read it in all the days of his life, that he may learn reverently to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them."
If kings were directed to write a copy of God's statutes, laws, commandments, and instructions, shouldn't we do so as well?
I would say that that could be heavily implied. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it."
Write out your key scriptures so you can refer to them quickly.
Yes.
Either during times of adversity or helping a friend overcome the storms in their life.
Or your confession every day. There's just so many ways in which
read the Word. We confess the Word. We memorize the Word. We write the Word. Seems like I'm forgetting one.
Personalizing the word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Read, confess, personalize, memorize, personalize, and write the word. Six.
Now here is the big one.
It's time. Do the word.
Time to do the word.
Do the word. Make no mistake, God wants us reading and confessing the word, but he also wants us doing something with what we heard.
Putting it into practice.
According to Strong's Concordance, the word doer is the Greek word G4152. G4152. And it means a maker, producer, author, doer, performer.
I like the author, performer, you know, producer. That's interesting.
In essence, you are the writer, actor, producer, and director of your own life story.
Amen.
What you do, how the script of your life plays out, is entirely in your hands based on what you choose to do or not do.
Right.
In fact, your destiny resides in your own hands based on what you do with what you read, hear, and know.
That's it.
But the key is what you do. And when we do his word, we get blessed.
That's the truth. You know, the scripture admonishes us in James 1, verse 25, to not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work. This one will be blessed in what he does. It says it right there. We are blessed. We are, I don't want to get too crazy out there, but we are crazy not to do the word, because the word is going to, you know, bless us if we put it into practice.
Absolutely. We tend to judge, here's the problem, honey. We tend to judge other people for what they do and ourselves for what we intend to do. Make no mistake about it. God will judge us based on what we do. Not what we say we're going to do, what we mean to do, what we intend to get around to do.
There you go.
But what we do. And we can blame our behavior on someone or something. We can decide this is or
this
that is.
Right.
Right.
Whatever.
But the truth of the matter is, we're the author of our own book.
Mm-hmm.
We decide what's going on.
That's right.
And what's going to happen.
And whether we're basing
it. And how we'll fulfill our destiny.
Yeah.
And what we're going to hear on Judgment Day.
Yeah. And whether we're basing it, I mean, if we're basing it on the word or not, or letting it slide. Proverbs 16, verse 2. I love this in the Living Bible.
Scripture.
It says, we can always prove that we are right, but is the Lord convinced? If it doesn't line up with the word.
New Living Translation says,
yeah,
that God examines our motives.
That's right. Examines our motives. In James 1, verse 22, the Classic Amplified, it says, but be doers of the word. Like Harold read the, what did it say? Author, doer, maker, you know, doer of the word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it. Betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth.
It says obey the message. What message is it that God wants us to obey? It's his word.
Yay.
That's what he wants.
That's right.
He wants us obeying the word. His promises to bless us.
And he will reveal it to us as we read. In James 1, verse 23 and 24 in the message, it says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a listener when you're anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like.
Act on what you hear doesn't mean talk about it. It means do it.
There you go. Colossians 3, verse 23, Classic Amplified Bible. Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul, as something done for the Lord and not for men. And that's a great thing, great scripture to take to work with you.
We're to give our best effort
that's
in
it.
Everything we do.
Well, yep.
So,
Amen.
We're going to read the word.
Yes.
We're going to confess the word.
That's right. We're going to personalize the
word. Personalize the word. We're going to memorize the word.
And write the word.
We're going to write the word. We're going to do the word.
Amen.
And number seven.
Hallelujah.
Live the word.
Live it out. Live it out. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3 in the Classic Amplified Bible. You know, we may be giving you a lot of scripture tonight, but all these scriptures back up everything we're saying. And you've got more than enough reason to know why you do all of these things.
Why you're not getting ahead in life, why things are not working for you. I want to tell you, if you want to turn it around, these seven things that are in the context of this teaching will tell you how to turn it around.
Hallelujah.
Right in the Word.
That's it. 2 Corinthians 3:1-3 in the Classic Amplified. Are we starting to commend ourselves again? Or we do not, like some false teachers, need written credentials or letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? No, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, our credentials, written in your hearts to be known, perceived, recognized, and read by everyone. You show and make obvious that our letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. In other words, the Word living through us. Not trying to do it in our own selves, but letting the Lord activate it in us and letting Him work through us.
Go ahead and do 2 Corinthians 5:15.
Yeah, that's good. 2 Corinthians 5:15 in the Living Bible says, He died for all so that all who live, having received eternal life from Him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ who died and rose again for them.
Now let's make sure we get this. Note this verse says that believers are to spend their lives pleasing Christ.
Yes.
Who died and rose again for them. Not anybody else. Christ. If you please Christ, then everything else falls in line.
That's true.
But if your focus is to please everybody else, not going to happen. You're going to be miserable. Please Christ.
Amen.
And we're not talking about the sweet by and by. We're talking about right now.
That's it.
Right now.
That is it.
Okay, those were the seven keys on the Word.
The more we do those things too, honey, the more we do it, the more fun it is to be able to share the Word and get in and, I don't know, it's not hard when you start to love the Lord and, you know, anyway. Let Him live through us. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, those seven things.
Now let's get back. Those were the seven things.
Now back to the Scripture.
Isaiah 55:11. That was number one. That's a lot, number one. But truthfully, those seven keys
were very important.
Worth everybody coming tonight or watching this later on or listening to it again.
Amen.
Number two, in Isaiah 55, it says, the Word shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless. New Living Translation of that scripture says, I send it out, and it always produces fruit.
Think of that.
Hallelujah. Everything in the universe.
Think on this.
Is governed by the law of sowing and reaping. Everything in the universe. The words you speak or words you sow, they'll bring a harvest. It may not be. Well, it may or may not be the one you want.
That's it, depending on what you decide
to
say.
That's why you have to be careful what you speak out of your mouth.
Yes.
Because you may get what you spoke, even though you didn't want to get it.
There you go. That's why prayer is so important, huh? Yeah, sometimes praying for the crop failure.
We got to know the words that come out of our mouths are not lost, wasted, empty, or without success. They will bring consequences, and we decide what those consequences will be.
That's right. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21, Classic Amplified. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. And a very well-known one, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life.
The spoken word cannot be stopped, changed, deleted, erased, short-circuited, or come back empty-handed.
Now
word of God cannot.
Yeah, but that's true. Matthew 12, verse 36 is an eye-opener. I always, every time I read it, makes me
this is what you
think
call
I, yeah, this is what
ouch.
You, yes, it is. It's an
this
ouch.
This is an ouch scripture.
Matthew 12, verse 36. King James. Mm-hmm. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment.
Just think what all these politicians are going to have to give account for, because they speak a bunch of idle words.
Rationalizing that you are right, that's where it goes back. Wow.
But see, on the positive side, the word gives us the ability to make something out of nothing.
Exactly. And that's what we're after.
Make something out of nothing. There are two powerful scriptures we want to share with you before we move on.
Yes. Psalm 34, verse 12 and 13, Living Bible. Do you want a long, good life? Then watch your tongue. Keep your lips from lying. And 1 Peter 3, verse 10 in the Living Bible. If you want a happy, good life, keep control of your tongue and guard your lips from telling lies.
Number three, again from Isaiah 55, 11.
That's it.
Shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. Is God's purpose going to be accomplished? Of course it is.
It is.
No doubt.
One way or another. Yep. Sometimes long and arduous, like in Joshua 21, 45 in the New Living Translation. It says, not a single one of the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. Now, they may have held it back from coming true for a while, but every word that he said, you know, that they, he would lead them into the promised land, he got them there. He got them there. His word did not return void.
No. So the real question is, what gives God pleasure?
Think of that.
Does Yay!
Is he after us to, you know, let me just say this, and I need to use this illustration.
Go ahead.
You know, sometimes people act, Christians, they just amaze me. They act like, you know, if they really submit to God, he's going to go, okay, now I'm going to make you eat that broccoli that you don't like. And I'm going, he's really wanting great and wonderful things for us. And we act sometimes like if we submit to what he wants, something, you know, we're going to have to do this or we're going to have to do that. And it's just going to be, but you read Psalm 35. This is what God's saying.
Yay,
this is his pleasure.
Shout for joy.
Yes.
Shout for joy. Be glad. Favor my righteous cause. Lord, magnified.
He has pleasure.
The verse that comes after that. Let your lips proclaim all the days of your life. See, we know 37, I mean 27.
But we don't always remember. Hallelujah. Psalm 147. I actually love this in the Living Bible too. 147. That gets God's attention.
Just one more thing. In America, Black Panther or
verse 3.
I love this.
Italy people in the
land.
Think of that.
And the last one.
The last part of the scripture.
From Isaiah 55. The word shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
That's it.
In other words, God's word accomplishes God's purpose.
That's it.
For this reason, we must closely heed statements with scripture and that address purpose. I want to take a little closer look this last part of Isaiah 55, 11 in the Message Bible.
Mm. It says, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them.
Hallelujah. Your assignment for the next week, the next 7 days, is to read, confess, memorize, personalize, write, do, and live out the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
That's your assignment. Frankly, you already know that can be accomplished without changing your daily routine, but you need to do it. I think if we will focus our attention on these 7 strategies for activating the work of God, Word of God, every day for the next week, our lives will change supernaturally. I believe if we do that for 7 days, those 7 things, that we'll find the answers we've been seeking. The doors will open. The breakthrough we've been needing will appear. The direction we desire, and yes, the financial miracles or healing miracles we've been praying for, will come up on our horizon. One more instruction. Too many times, we focus on what goes wrong in our lives instead of what goes right.
There you go.
And purpose in your heart in the next 7 days. If something doesn't go the way you like, don't speak it. Don't confess it.
Just and don't bellyache over it.
Flip it around and speak the word over that situation.
That's it.
Flip it around. Speak the word. Hallelujah.
Mm. Rejoice.
What are the top 7 things you think are going right for you? Maybe even make a list of them.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Make a list of the top 7 things you think are going right in your life and write them down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You want to hear my 7?
Sure.
Number 1. And this is going right for me. Clothed with the mind of Christ, enjoying divine health, living in a free country, and praising God for his presence, power, promotion, protection, and provision.
Amen.
Number 2, loving my fine wife, Bev, more than ever before, and showing her by words and deeds every day, and receiving the same blessing of love from her.
Hallelujah.
3, my early morning prayer time and 2 chairs, you know. And by the way, I do promise to teach on that sometime in the not-too-distant future. I know I've mentioned that before, but I don't really do stuff unless I feel a release from the Lord to do it.
That's it.
And so when the time comes, you'll know it's the time, because I'll say tonight we're going to start talking about 2 chairs. Number 4, seeing spiritual progress in the lives of our children, grandchildren, enjoying the life of my parents.
Amen.
And that's, you know, big for me. Number 5, being able to think beyond my imagination with supernatural creativity while receiving God ideas in every area of my life. Every morning I ask God for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, answers, directions, instructions, and ideas on the things that I need to accomplish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number 6, having good partners and associates positioned to assist us in everything our hands find to do for his glory and honor. And number 7, living a life without limitations.
Amen.
That's what I want.
That gives you an idea of what you can do. Harold just put his down.
So
Amen.
We strongly encourage you to complete this spiritual exercise for the next 7 days. And may even want to start on it before you go to bed tonight.
That's right.
You know, when you make the list, when I made mine, I didn't stop thinking about it. I just started writing. And I wrote down the first 7 things that came to me. And that's what it was.
Amen.
Let's close this, honey, with Proverbs 8:32.
Yeah, this is
which
the Message
is in the
Bible.
Message Bible, but I think it offers profound advice for the next 7 days and beyond.
All right. So, my dear friends, listen carefully. Those who embrace these ways are most blessed. Mark a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me. Awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure.
Read it one
That's
more time.
That's a perfect, perfect scripture to end with. So, my dear friends, this is our prayer for you too. Listen carefully. Those who embrace these my ways, are most blessed. Make a life of discipline and live wisely. Don't squander your precious life. Bless the man, bless the woman who listens to me, awake and ready for me each morning, alert and responsive as I start my day's work. When you find me, you find life, real life, to say nothing of God's good pleasure.
That's 10 keys in those scriptures, and we underline them for you. And we strongly recommend you go back over those and
Amen.
Study it, because it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing.
Hallelujah.
Well, if this has touched me, it's touched me. I need to go up here and take my mouse and really, it's good.
Well, follow my wife's lead. If you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, move to the top. For it says, so is he. Just ask God what seed and have you so. Do what he says. So we ever ask. Make sure you check out on our website this week's 2-minute video.
Amen.
And make sure you join us every morning at 8:30
That's
Eastern.
That's right.
For Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
If you, tomorrow's if you Memorial
can't join
Day.
Live, then.
Be sweet. Then you can do the playback.
Do the playback. Do the playback.
But whatever
do the
works.
Playback. Do the playback. Okay. I'm through.
I just want the quarterback.
Huh?
Nothing. I'm making jokes. But we are blessed.
I'm really blessed because we finished this teaching. I forgot to charge my laptop. And I had 14 minutes left, so I praise God.
I would say God was good to you.
He was.
All the time.
I felt like I could get it done. And the Yankees won, so that's good. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming, everybody,
yes.
here tonight. And those of you watching around the world,
are so
we love
blessed.
You. We appreciate you. God bless you.
And keep thinking
rich thoughts.
Rich thoughts.
Bye-bye.